I like that. That's what I am. Old school, old fashioned, plain and simple, nothing fancy. That's what we need to be. We've got too many geniuses and too many experts, too many chiefs, not enough Indians. Amen. I like being an Indian. Amen. Praise the Lord for that privilege. Well, it's a blessing to be here again tonight, ain't it? Ain't it good to be here? Thank God for the honor to be here again tonight. Romans chapter 11, please. We're going to switch gears a little bit tonight. We're coming off the gifts, and we're going to start looking at this call. I was sitting there this morning, and I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, what am I going to do Friday night to end this thing? And he said, I've got a plan. I said, boy, that's good. Let me in on it, Lord. Let me in on it. Amen. And so I sat there after I got done reading my scriptures today, and after we had our devotions, reading my scriptures and our prayer time, and I was sitting there, and I'm listening. I spend a lot of time listening. Most folks spend too much time talking. You need to listen. Every once in a while, God's got something to say, and you can't hear it when you're talking. Now, I'm about half can't hear good, and so if two people are talking at one time, I don't get either one what to say. That's why I have such a hard time on the phone a lot of time. I can't hear half of what people say on the phone anymore. So if I'm talking and God's talking, I'll miss what God's saying. So I got to hush. And so I hushed, and God spoke to my heart and gave me Friday night's message. And so I got down. Now all I got to do now is meditate on it. Think about it for a couple of days. Praise the Lord. Amen. Is that good? I love that. Praise God. Romans chapter 11, my family, if you're able, would you stand for the reading of the word of the Lord as we again, like I said, change gears and move into the call tonight if we can. Verse 25, as we've been reading, says, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Again, what God has given to Israel, they're still going to get it. He's not going to take it away from them. And what he has called them to do, they're supposed to be doing it. And I'm telling you, what we're supposed to be doing, we better be getting to doing it. Amen. For as in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these now also not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. God Almighty said in 5, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The merciless don't deserve mercy. You give mercy, you get mercy. You sow mercy, you reap mercy. That's just how it is. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Are you ready to add a verse? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So what I want to do tonight is I want to bring you a message, if I may, on be reasonable. Just be reasonable. Have you been told that all your life? You come up with some harebrained scheme or something, and somebody look at you and say, just be reasonable, will you? Well, that's what God's saying to us tonight. Be reasonable, okay? My Father and my God, thank you for all of these that have come out on this great night. What a pretty night you give us. Warmer temperatures, sun shining. Thank you, Lord. And Father, I pray that you'll sunshine in here. That our hearts tonight, Lord, will lay aside all the darkness and all the troubles and difficulties, and our minds would clear of the day's activities and the texts and the phone calls and whatever we seen on the news and whatever we heard about the news. And Lord, I pray that tonight, our God, that Lord, you would just work with some clear minds and some empty hearts, Father, and fill us, our God, with thyself to the point, Lord, where we walk out of here tonight different than when we came in. Lord, I want the preacher, Father, to again be encouraged and strengthened, Father, for he will come Sunday morning, be back in the helm, Father, this great ship. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless him and the family here, God, and watch over him. And Lord Jesus, I pray that, Lord, every preacher that's got church tonight, that, Lord, you'll anoint them and touch them, fill them. May souls be saved everywhere, my God. Because one of these days, the last one's going to get saved before you step out on that cloud and shout and blow that trump. And we're going to leave out of here, my God. We're going to lay all this stuff down. Lord, we ain't even taking these bodies with us. Lord, we're going to be changed. We're going to be just like you. We're going to see you like you are. And we're going to be home forever. But Father, you've got to help us come home gaining rewards and not losing. So preach to us so we can change ourselves. Let us cleanse ourselves, God. You've given us all the wash rags, all the soap, all the water, all the ability. Let us cleanse ourselves, my Father, and let us do right. In the name of Jesus, we praise you. Amen, my Father. Amen. You may be seated, family. Before I get started tonight, how many of y'all got gospel tracts in your purses, ladies? Purses, ladies? Pockets, men? So why are you asking that? Well, I'm fixing to help you with something tonight, all right? Listen, if you don't have a gospel tract, all right, if you don't have one, what I want you to do tonight on your way out, there's a rack yonder. I want you to get two tracts. You hear me? You that don't have any, I want you to get two. That's all. Just two. And I want you to make up your mind tomorrow, even if you don't need to. Now, I know that's going to be a scary thing to say. Even if you don't need to go to Walmart. Because you've already been there three times this week. If you went there and didn't pass out one track in the three times you've already been there, I want you to go there tomorrow. I want you to buy one thing, and I want you to come out of there, and I want you to give away those two tracks. You go get fuel tomorrow, gasoline tomorrow, whatever, you go to work tomorrow, whatever you're doing, I want you to take two tracks, and I want you to ask God, Lord, guide these tracks to where they go. All right, that's a challenge for you, okay? And then tomorrow night when I interrogate you, I'll find out if you're obedient or not. Hallelujah, okay? You said, preacher, what are you doing that for? I'm trying to help you, okay? Be reasonable. That's all God asks us to do. He doesn't ask us to be super Christians. And I'll tell you why. There ain't no such thing. Every one of us is just as saved as everyone else is saved. We're not saved any more or any less. We may serve more or less, but we're not saved more or less. We're saved exactly the same. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, through faith. That's it. You say, preacher, what are you saying? Every child of God can just simply live the reasonable life. That's all God wants us to do. And it's just reasonable to be the Christian God made out of you. Don't be just a churchgoer. Folks ask me sometimes, they say, Brother Don, how's the church doing? I said, it's doing great. Now, the churchgoers are struggling, but the church itself's doing fine. The church itself loves God, but those that just come to church, they're having a war. They're battling. They don't fit out there. They don't fit in here. They just kind of, you know, they're just kind of trying to do their very best. All you got to do, listen to me, gang, all you got to do is be holy, and God will be pleased. And that ain't hard to do. Listen to me. Brother Don, now you really out on a limb now. No, I'm not. All holiness is your obedience to Jesus Christ. That's all it is. Now, you can make it hard if you want to. You can have these high levels of grandeur up there someplace that you believe you can't ever reach. But all holiness really is obedience to God Almighty. And when you and I obey God, my dear family, God classifies us holy. And that's what I want to be. You say, preacher, but I make mistakes. Who don't but God? Huh? Come on now. Who don't but God? He's the only one who walked around here and didn't make a mistake. You know, there was an Old Testament prophet that some woman said he was a holy man of God. Every time he come by, she told her husband, this is a holy man of God that comes by here. Now, how did she know he was holy? Because he obeyed God. Is it easy to obey God? Yes. All you got to do is get up in the morning before you ever open your eyes or get out of bed. Just say, yes, Lord. No matter what he says the rest of the day, it's okay because you done agreed to do it. The problem is you don't trust him. The problem is you're scared to death he's going to make you stand downtown Seneca Falls and preach or something. You're scared to death if I do too much, if God might send me to Timbuktu, and I don't want to go to Timbuktu. A lot of folk are afraid of death. God might.
That's right.
They live in the world of what if. What if God sends me here and there ain't no food? And what if I get there and my kids don't like it and my wife hates me for it? What if? You can't live in the world of what if.
Right. Amen.
God Almighty, all I want you to do is live in the world of be reasonable. Do we honestly think that God would abuse us in any way, shape, or form, any fashion at all? Do we believe that God would take us somewhere and then let us starve to death because we went? Come on, really? God has a way of providing for us when nobody else around us has it. God's people do. Do you not remember Egypt? Huh? Man, they had all kinds of problems going on back over there. But in Goshen, none of them problems. Egypt got so bad, my dear family, God of mine turned the lights out on it. But there was light in Goshen.
Amen.
Everything dying in Egypt over there. And then there was flies and frogs and Pharaoh and all that kind of junk. But in Goshen, there was God. In case you don't know it, it's the same God. In case you don't realize that, that's the same God we serve. That's the same God of mine. Are you listening to me, gang? It's the same God. All God wants you to do is just be reasonable. He said, all you got to do is present your body as a living sacrifice.
Work.
Now watch your Bible. Watch your Bible with me, please. To be reasonable has three separate areas to it. It's all written right here in the Bible. Sacrifice, holy, and acceptable. So let's look at it. What is this reasonable life that's so sacrificial? What is it? We'll go to Hebrews 13. Let's see if we can find some things. Let's just run through the Bible tonight a little ways and see if we can find some sacrifice, all right? Some sacrificial living. A lot of times, my dear family, we don't want to sacrifice. And your problem is you live, how can I say it, Lord, properly? Pillar to post. You know what that is? That's like folks that live a paycheck to paycheck. And God have mercy, if they lose one day's work, they go under. That's too tight. You say, preacher, I don't know if I got anything to give. You would if you had abundance. If you had enough, and my God said, I will supply all your need according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And in the abundance of all of that, you can sacrifice out of the extra and remain solid in your bills. You can sacrifice out of the abundance and keep the exact amount you can have. And you never lack. It's quiet as death in here tonight. Preacher, you're trying, no, I ain't pushing you to do nothing. I'm just trying to tell you something, my dear family. If you study the gathering of the necessity, Are you listening to me, love? If you study the gathering of the necessity, you will find out that you have every single dime, every single hour, every single moment of strength that you need per day.
Yeah.
What God Almighty does sometimes is He blesses you with an abundance.
Amen.
And then God comes and says, you know, I want you to be reasonable about your giving. Let's take time so you don't crucify me, okay? You got some extra time on your hands. But you've studied this here and you think to yourself, well, where's my extra time? And God shows you that there's times in your day that you ain't doing nothing at all.
Amen.
And you could sacrifice a few minutes to pray.
Amen.
You could sacrifice a few minutes to walk over to the neighbor's house, not to complain about his dog in your backyard, but to just say, by the way, I just want you to know I've been praying for you. How's everything going? Is there anything I can pray for you about?
Right.
You don't have to just say, listen, Jack, you've got to get saved or else. You can just kind of befriend him a little bit.
Right.
He used to think you were a Christian. Now he just thinks you're a churchgoer. Sometimes it's a sacrifice to become a Christian beyond the churchgoer. A churchgoer is great and dandy, don't get me wrong. But sometimes the abundance of being a Christian on top of that is where we can sacrifice that which is extra in our lives. Sacrifice. Hebrews 13. The Lord God says these words to us in verse 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. I know in here we praise God and raise holy hands without wrath and doubting. I understand that. But when was the last time you had a spell at home? When's the last time your children saw you praising God at the house? When's the last time your kids looked over and said, what is Daddy doing? What's he doing out there? Running around the yard, praising God, shouting the victory. So preacher, people don't do that. That's exactly my point. We got this much time and this much energy and this much money and this much this, that, and the other. And God says, I want you to sacrifice. I want you to give a sacrifice of praise. Well, if all you got's this, you ain't going to give it. Well, God, if I give it that, I'll do that at church. What I'll do is I'll do that at church. Well, if you do it at church, if this is the only place you do it, gang, you're just showing off. You ain't praising God. You're just showing off. Don't show off, love. You're a child of God. You ought to be able to thank God every place you are. No matter where you are, you'll be able to thank God. And don't be timid about it.
Thank the Lord. I appreciate me. Very God. Thank you, God.
You ought not be ashamed at work. Them heathens you work with need somebody around. They need to see that there is light in a world that's absolutely eat up with darkness now. They need somebody to praise. They need to see you working for God and living for God moment by moment by moment by moment. They need to walk up to you and say, can I have one of them in your pocket? Can I have one of them in your pocket? This is the tract that I carry all the time. It says, is Jesus Christ your Savior? And I keep it in my pocket. And every once in a while, I'll be someplace and I'll see people staring at my pocket. And I say, here, you can have one. I want you to read that. And they go, I said, no, read it out loud. Is Jesus Christ your Savior? I did that in a Verizon store once. And in mockery, he said, is Jesus Christ your Savior? Just that loud. And everybody in the whole store heard him. I didn't need to witness everybody else. He just did. Hallelujah. What are you saying? I'm saying, my dear family, listen to me. They see it and they hear it. That's a double gate. Now the Holy Ghost got something to work on. Now they go to bed. Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Next time somebody walks by, they see a cross on those. Jesus Christ and Savior. See, my dear family, let us not be ashamed of our God. Let's not be ashamed to sacrifice praise unto our Lord. Look at 1 Peter, if you will, please. Look at 1 Peter with me. We see the Lord God trying to get us to just be reasonable. That's all I want you boys to do. I don't want super Christian, Superman. You know, don't brag to the periodicals about how many thousands of people you led to Jesus yesterday. Just live. Just be the Christian I made out of you. 1 Peter 2, verse 5. I'll get there myself in here in a minute. Hang right on. Listen, ye also as lively stones. We're too dead, church. We're too dead. Come on, some of you came out of dead, dried up religion. They opened a casket and you got out of that mess. You're not mannequins now. You're not puppets now. You're live people, amen. You're people who love God. Ye also as lively stones to build up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Be reasonable. I want you to offer up some spiritual praise. I want you to offer up some spiritual sacrifice. Well, what sacrifice be spiritual? Quit doing what I say is wrong. Did you hear me? God talking, saying, quit doing what I say is wrong. Quit doing what I don't like. Quit grieving me. Quit quenching me. You've got so much potential, but I can't use you. Because you will not be reasonable. All you want to do is live and die and go to heaven when you die. I got more for you to do than that.
Glory.
If I wanted you in heaven, I'd have killed you the second I saved you.
Right.
I don't want you in heaven yet. I want you to work down there. I want you to live down there. I want you to be a sacrifice down there. Be reasonable. And we look at God and say, God, boy, I can't wait to get to heaven. And God looks down at us, He looks down at me, and He says, you ain't ready yet.
Yeah.
I pray all the time, Lord, help us come on gaining rewards and not losing. You just heard me a little while ago.
Yeah,
oh, my family, listen to me. If this piece of life from salvation, and that's where life begins in salvation.
Amen.
I don't care where you've been, what you've done, who you've been with, I don't care nothing about you before you were saved. But when you got saved by the grace of God, I do not expect those that are not saved to do anything right. No matter what it is, I don't care what it is, I don't expect them to do anything right. If they do, I'm happy about it, don't get me wrong. But they have no liver in them. So how can they live if there's no liver? But I expect God's people to toe the line. I expect God's people, my love, to be sacrificing for God. I believe God's people ought to be the most sacrificial people in all the world. Even the things that we like, if He don't like them, that ought to be a spiritual sacrifice. Whatever it might be, no matter what it is, alright? It might not even be wrong. But it could be in the wrong time.
Amen.
I've had people come to church and do a revival meeting and say, I didn't come last night. I said, why that? Well, the Lord God told me to go visit my neighbor last night, so I went over there and talked to my neighbor last night at 7:30. And I said, it wasn't God. And they looked at me like a calf at a new gate. What do you mean it wasn't God? I said, we're having a meeting this week. Well, God told me. I said, no, God didn't tell you to go last night. How long has the neighbor lived beside you? Well, he's been there for a long time. I said, how come God didn't tell you to talk to him last week? God didn't tell you to go see him last night.
Come on, preacher.
I know, love. That's why I ain't got very many revival meetings, all right? I ain't fooling with them.
Yeah,
what a bunch of junk. They deceive themselves into believing they're serving God. He went over there and fellowshiped with the neighbor man. Folks, tell me, oh, Don, I can't help it. I didn't remember, and I scheduled my vacation, and we went to Myrtle Beach, and we came back, And I said, okay, I understand that. How many tracks did you pass that way? Is there? Where did you tell them to put the tracks that you gave them? Walking up and down the beach witnessing everybody. Tell me where the girls put the tracks. Now, there's nothing wrong with the beach as long as you're the only one there. And as long as they ain't out there naked. And if you're the only one there, they're not out there naked. Because God's people don't get naked. God's people don't get naked and go to the beach. Just be reasonable. Immodesty is against God. Standing in the sun on the sand in front of everybody in thick underwear is not modest. I mean, that's all bathing suits are, is real thick underwear. And not too thick anymore, they tell me. Are you listening? All I want you to do is be reasonable. Sir? Yes, sir? God's book says something about looking on a woman to lust after her. Did you walk that beach with your eyes shut?
Come on.
Did you open up long enough to give her a track? Brother, what are you saying? I'm just trying to be reasonable. There are some things we'll have to sacrifice once we get right with God. God, I used to do that. That's a fact. But I read that book right there that I'm supposed to have some spiritual sacrifices, and that's going to be one of them. That displeased you, I'll not do that no more. I am repenting of that, Lord. That spiritual sacrifice, repentance of that which grieves and quenches our God, is spiritual sacrifice. That's part of being reasonable. Part of being reasonable. I could go on and on and on about different things, but I'll just leave it be at that. All right, listen to the Word of God with me tonight. Just being reasonable. Just thinking a minute. You say, preacher, what are you saying? God's called us to be reasonable. Remember the verse? He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren. He's calling us. By the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Be sacrificial in your call. Let God call you to sacrifice for Him. Amen. Look at me, please, in the second thought about holy. Sacrificial, yes, but holy. I told you holy is obedience to God Almighty. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Look at it, please, with me. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. God's Bible says, let's back up in verse 7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. Be not thou therefore ashamed of my testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling. Not according to our works. Ain't you glad of that? Not according to our works. He has saved us. He's called us with a holy calling. But not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. What are you saying? God, who knows all, knew us before we was. He knew our potential. He knew we'd accept Him or reject Him. He knew everything about us. And the Bible here says that He has called us with a holy calling. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm trying to get you to understand. It's just reasonable to be holy. It's just reasonable to be obedient to God Almighty. Jesus looked at us one day and He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's what He said in the book of John. And I'm telling you, my love, listen to me. It's not hard for God's people. God's commandments are not grievous. They're not hard to obey. The hard part's living two lives. Or three. The life you live in your church, prim, proper, fine, dandy, looking great. The life you live at work amongst the buddies. And the life you live at home in front of mama. In front of the children. There are times, my dear family, when you wouldn't dare be anything but what you're supposed to be wherever you are. And God Almighty said, listen, I called you to be holy. I give you a holy calling, not according to your works. I called you according to His own purpose. I've got a reason for this. I got a purpose for this. I got a plan for you. And dear family, listen to me. The plan becomes obvious after a while. Can I share an example of that that you will well know?
Please do.
Is yes or no? Yes, yes, in Seneca Falls? Huh? Do you know your great man of God's on his 30th anniversary today? Did y'all know that? I told some of the family that means he gets $100 a year.
There you go.
I'm putting it on you.
You sure are.
30 years, that's $3,000. Not. He found the will of God. He got reasonable. He said, yes, Lord. Do you understand that him being here 30 years could have quit?
Oh, yeah.
Could have run. Could have jumped it.
That's right.
Stay here when you are.
He's faithful.
But the love that he has for you held him here. Do you understand? He understands the will of God. He understands the holy calling God gave him to be pastor of this great church. That's why he's still here. He understands it's a holy calling. You say, preacher, what are you saying? The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Burdens come and go. Missionary comes in here and boy shows you slides and you cry and bawl and give him $1,000 and all kinds of stuff like that. And 2 days later you can't remember his name. But the call of God never changes. What's the man of God? Now listen to me. I ain't saying God don't change and direct and guide and all that kind of stuff. But there comes a point in time in a man's life where he realizes this is my calling. And it's holy. And God, here I am.
Amen.
And that's where He will be at the rapture.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's what your man of God has done.
Yeah.
30 years? $100 a year. Next year, 31, when I get back? 3,100. Just to have. Don't have to pay bills with it if you don't want to. Don't have to buy enough to do it if you don't want to. He wants to stick it in a sock and keep it in the drawer, that's his business. It's his. Anything that you give to God, not his family, we take our hands off. We do not say, all right, now, here's where you put it, here's what you do with it. No. We give it to God and God says, oh, I'm glad to have that. I say, all right, God, here it is. What do you want? Boy, there's folks that designate. I want $50 here and $1,000 here and $900 here. And I understand all that. Don't go throw your shoes at me. But I'm just trying to get you to understand something, gang. When you say, God, here it is, and you just lay it down at God's feet,
yeah.
God Almighty can distribute it any place He wants to.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
If the man of God wants to give it one of his kids, you give him $3,000, he wants to give his kids all that $3,000, that's his business.
That's right.
Don't you get mad at him if he does. If he wants to give that $3,000 to little Paul to get him started in his life after a while, are you listening to me? Put this in the piggy bank, baby. It ain't nobody bid it but him and God.
That's right.
Are you listening to me?
Gotcha.
How's that come to pass by that holy calling? You guys got a holy calling too.
Yeah. Come on.
No, you might not be called to be a pastor. And you might not be called to be an evangelist. But you are called to be a Christian.
Amen.
You're called to rise above your church attendance. You're called to rise above being a good worker at shop. You're called to rise above everything that is in your whole life and get to the highest position you and I could possibly. Do you understand being a Christian is higher than being a preacher?
That's right.
Why is that? Because we were Christians before we were preachers.
Amen.
And we're right or wrong, brother?
Right.
Do you understand that God starts us out with the highest calling He has for us? And it's holy. That God would take a hell-bound, truck-driving, drunk, no-good, jumpy like me and save my soul, take a bottle out of my hand and put a Bible in it, and then 9 months later, go to 2 Timothy 4:5, Dawn. I went to 2 Timothy 4:5, said, do the work of an evangelist. And from that moment to this, that was in 78, from that moment to this, I have been a God-called evangelist. I haven't been evangelizing. All that time I pastored 5.5 years down the mountains of West Virginia, down around the home folks, to learn what the man of God has to deal with all the time. But I'm telling you right now, my heart's always been in evangelism. I lay there at night and listen to the trucks and cars going up and down Route 50. I said, Lord, one day I'm going to get out on that road, Lord. One day I'm going to get out there, God, for you. One day I'm going to be out there, God, for you. The day came in 86 and me and Mama and the daughter hit the road. No meetings, no money, nothing going on, hard at all. He said, preacher, what'd you do? I grabbed the holy calling of my God. I stepped out by faith, my friends, and I said, Lord God, here I am. You do whatever you want to do with me. It's fine, Lord. Lord, what will thou have me to do? And God said, go to Virginia and I'll tell you later. Holy calling. Every one of us have it. Every saved child of God has a holy calling. Look at Titus with me. Look at Titus. Jump, jump, jump to Titus. Look at verse 7 and 8. Talk about the man of God. Talk about the pastor. A bishop must be blameless. I'm not a bishop. Okay? I'm an evangelist. I'm not a bishop. A bishop must be blameless and steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, here's our word, holy, temperate. Pastor, yeah, I want you to be reasonable. Lord, what can I do that will make me reasonable more than anything else? Be holy. I have called you with a holy calling. Evangelist, I want you to be holy. People of God, men that work, you listen to me, you men that work, ladies that work, you listen to me. Do you realize we have to have you? Do you understand, my love, that you're the ones that work? You're the ones that tithe. You're the ones that pay the bills. You're the one that pays the bills and emissions. Do you understand, church, that we would not be anything without you, dear ones that work outside here? Am I right or wrong?
Amen.
Boy, a lot of people, they put all the allegiances on us guys. It ain't us guys.
Come on now.
It's the layman. It's the folks in the pews. It's the folks in the seats. Yeah. You get up every morning, some old crazy, long-winded hillbilly yells and screams and carries on half the night. And you can't sleep because you're all wired up. And you go home and then you got to get up early in the morning, go on to work anyways. And you work and labor and get your check and come in and tithe and give God His money. And that keeps the lights on and the AC running and the heat on. Gets the parking lot. Come on now. It's everybody is in this thing. Call of God Almighty. Are you listening to me, gang? Let's just be reasonable. Amen. Let's just sacrifice and be holy and watch God bless His people. Just reasonable. That's all it is. It's no fancy thing. This guy ain't no super Christian because he gives more money than another one. Besides that, how do you know he does?
Yes, right.
Well, he told me the other day. Well, that sure wasn't reasonable. For now, there's anger betwixt them. Well, that joker just thinks he's better than me because he can give more. Well, if I had his job, made his money, I'd give more too. It ain't the amount. It's the heart. Everything you put in that plate comes from your heart. You lay your heart in that plate. You put your heart in them offerings and missions givings and special meeting givings and different things like that. You give your heart when there's a project around here. Well, we need out the wall. I'll give you a scenario, okay? When Brother Lou Godano had an old building over yonder there, and he needed to rebuild and kind of stuff like that, when during the camp meeting, he said, Brother Don, he said, I want you to raise some money. He said, I got $30,000 already laid back, and I need $20,000 more to remodel the building. And I laughed. And I said, Brother Lou, there ain't no way under the sun you're going to rebuild that building for $50,000. Every building project is more than we ever expected. He said, can you do it? I said, well, yeah, this is a Sunday morning now, okay? Sunday morning. He said, tonight I want you to preach, and I want you to gather up $20,000 for me. I can't find two dimes if I walk the streets of a city, okay? You listen to me. I'm the one that don't find pennies on the sidewalk, all right? I couldn't raise money if I had it in my hand. I said, preacher, you the pastor, I'll do whatever you want. I'll try my best. I couldn't even take my nap that day. I had to pray and get to God. I said, God, what I do? God says, it ain't no problem. Hang on, I'll take care of it. So he took me over to the book there where all the men went to war. Remember when the 12,000 went to war and 12,000 came home? And they took up a memorial offering because of the goodness of God Almighty? Not one of them soldiers died in the battle. And because of the memorial of the blessings of God, they gave all of that to Moses and on and on and on. Well, that's what I preached on. So when I got done with that message, I said, listen, I don't want your money, I want your heart. Now, we got $30,000 in the sock, and we need 20 more to get this building thing going. And so, and I looked back, Brother Fenton, I looked back there at little Erica's the treasurer at that time. I said, little Erica, I said, during the week, have I gotten $1,000 in my offering yet? She said, oh yeah, preacher, you've got $1,000 in your offering. I said, good, cut the first 1,000 out and put it in the plate. Now we only need 19 more, folks. Brother Lou's wife said, we'll give a grand. Brother Lou's behind, he's choking to death. He said, woman, where are we going to get $1,000? She said, I don't know, but you better find it. I done give it. I said, we only need 18 more. Now, that ain't nothing, gang. $18,000, a group this size, and Brother Lou's back behind me. He said, Brother Don, this is the second week of meeting. They are out of money. They're broke as a snake. I said, they may be, but God ain't. I need 18 grand, folks. Come on. Pop, 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 pop. I looked over here, about where you're sitting, and there was one of the women there. She just bawling her eyes out. And I looked down there and I said, girl, what is wrong with you, Debbie?
She said, I ain't got $100, preacher.
And five men ran to her and gave her $100. She said, I got five now, Brother Don. I said, hallelujah. Amen. Give it to Jesus.
Glory. That'll work.
In less than a half an hour, there was money laying everywhere. Over $20,000. Of course, once he got in the building, he found out that wouldn't even take care of tearing the old one down. And they built a big, nice building. Are you listening to me? What I'm trying to get you to understand is this. That night, that crowd was called to sacrificially give. And it was just reasonable for them because they'd been in revival for 2 weeks. They had drove all the way to North Tonawanda to listen. Can you imagine that? Drove all the way to North Tonawanda every night the week before that to listen to me preach. Then that week, me and Jimmy Hood had preached all week that week. And other men have come in. They've been in revival for 2 weeks. And to them it was just reasonable. There's an offer. There's a need. We got to do something. And they jumped in that thing with both feet. They realized that this was the Holy... This was not just so Brother Lou would have $50,000. This was a chance. We're going to rebuild our building. We're going to make our building beautiful for God. We're going to redo it and make it up to code and make it safe and make it nice and make it good. And they jumped on that holy calling of God.
Amen.
You see, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying it's just reasonable. That once the Holy One puts something on you or in you, that from that moment on, you go to God in prayer and you say, all right, Lord, what is my portion of this? It may only be two mites. She laid her heart down in that plate and put two mics on top of it and walked away. Y'all know the story. We talk about it all the time. And yet we got 25 mics and we're begrudging God five of it. God says, turn in your wallet to page 20. And we turn to page 5. Or most of the time, page 1. Come on. I'm not telling you, give every dime you got unless the Holy Ghost says so. I'm not telling you put everything you've got in the plate unless the Holy Ghost tells you to. Because holiness is obedience. You said, preacher, what if he tell me that? Does he not know you need food? Does he not know you got light bill pay? Does he not know you got car payments? Come on now. You ought to thank God Almighty is going to make you put all your money in the plate and then let you do without after that. See, you don't trust him. God is not that dumb. All he wants us to do is be reasonable. Sacrificial, holy. Number 3, Romans 14, 8. 14, 18, I'm sorry, Romans 14, 18. Number 3, acceptable. 14, 18, the God Almighty's Bible says these words, for he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. See verse 16, let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God's not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, for he that is in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God. What are you talking about? When you are peaceful, righteous, joyful, in the Holy Ghost, what does that mean? You're obeying God. I'll give it to you plain, simple terms. You're obeying God. The Holy Ghost says jump, you jump. Holy Ghost says sleep, you sleep. Holy Ghost says change the baby diaper, you change the baby diaper. Holy Ghost says, get to church, the doors are open, you get to church. Holy Ghost says, you ain't got no way to church, call the preacher. They'll come get you. They got a van. He'll send somebody by that lives close to you, pick you up. Quit pretending like you're too proud to ride with anybody else in the whole church. Doors are open, get to the house of God. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Acceptable to God. Because you're serving Christ. When are you and I going to realize that obedience is serving God, and God loves it? If you obey me, he told Israel, I'll bless you. If you disobey me, holy, sacrificial, acceptable. Look at Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, the 10th verse says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Okay, let's back up and see what that might be. Verse 6 says, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Ye were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Now look what this is. Serving Christ, walking in the light, because the fruit of the Spirit, goodness, righteousness, and truth, proves what is acceptable to the Lord. What are you talking about? God Almighty is blessing the obedient when you and I are walking in goodness and righteousness and truth. And it proves to a lost and dying world that there really is a God. Do you understand that tonight, somewhere in America, the dark forces of the evil one are ripping apart something? Right? You know what's wrong with them people? They're lost. There is no saved people out there in the riots. They're not protesting, they're rioting. Okay? There's no saved people out there in that. Okay? Lost people out there. What's wrong with them people, preacher? They're lost. They're not walking in goodness. They're not walking in the Spirit of God. They're not walking in righteousness. They're not walking in truth. And they're not proving that they're right. They're proving that they're out of their minds. You and I are not insane. You and I got our sanity the second we got saved. We were nuts before we got saved, but now we're born again, saved by the grace of God. Now we got our sanity. I told you, He ain't given us a spirit of fear. Love, power, a sound mind. I know there's mental, physical things that really do happen, but I'm telling you, my love, listen, 99% of our problem is we just ain't walking with God reasonably. If we just get reasonable and do what God says, we'd have a big time. We'd have a big time, my family. Look, let me please, if you will, in another piece of Bible after the Ephesians text. Let me back up here and catch me a thought. Here we go. Ready? Look over with me, please, in 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5. I'm talking about just being reasonable, just thinking right, acting right, talking right. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Look at the 4th verse with me. God says in the 3rd verse, honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children and nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. See, God leaves nobody out. Everybody can be reasonable.
Hallelujah.
Everybody can be acceptable to God Almighty. You and I, my dear family, need to understand something. Our God is not a respecter of persons. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Listen to the verse of God here. Hebrews chapter 12. Let me back up if I may. Back. 25. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. My love, never let the thought go through your head and stick. Now thoughts go through our head constantly. Come on now. Thoughts go through there all the time. Our problem is not going through. Our problem is we let them stick. And then instead of meditating on that, what we do is let them fester. And they produce a poison in our minds. See, he refused not him that speaketh. Well, Brother Don, that's just your interpretation. See, you didn't let this thought stick. For if they escape not and refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. I'm talking about being acceptable. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably. Now watch. Here we come. Ready? With what? Reverence and godly fear. He's the only one that can be called reverent. Not me. Not the good pastor. Not these other preachers in here. Nuh-uh. He is the only one worthy to be called reverent. So we serve God acceptably, and then God gives us, if you will, the abundance. Remember? He gives us the abundance so that you and I can stay with this thing and be acceptable in His sight with reverence and godly fear. Don't you ever lose your fear of God. Boy, I've had them tell me all over the country, I ain't a bit afraid of God. I said, you will be. No, God's a God of love. He'll never harm me. I said, I'm telling you right now, you better fear God. I had one guy down in Florida one time tell me, he just on and on and on. I said, sir, have you ever read the Bible? Of course I've read the Bible. I said, you know what the God Almighty says in the book of Romans about them that have no fear of God about them? He said, well, I don't care what it says. I still don't fear Him. Pride talking. I said, where do you go to church? He told me. I see you faithful there? He said, I go when I feel like it. Pride talking.
Yep. Come on.
So what are you trying to tell, brother? I'm just trying to tell you something, gang. All God wants you and I to do is be reasonable. He's not giving us anything that we can't handle. He does not tempt us with sin. Don't you ever think for a minute he tempts you with sin? He's not tempted and he ain't tempting you and me. He'll test us. But he never tempts us with sin. You know why he don't? Did you ever fail a math test? Did you ever fail an English test? What's all that stupid stuff English people had to do? Dissect all them sentences and all that slant here, slant there, all that kind of jazz. But when I was in school, I signed my name and handed it back. She said, "Don, you have to learn how to whatever it is they was doing." I said, "Why?" She said, "So you know what tense it is and all that." I said, "If you listen to me talk, woman." She said, "I had to mark an F on your paper." I said, "Mark two. I ain't doing it." And she did. I near flunked. So what are you saying, brother? I'm saying, my dear family, God doesn't dare test some of us.
Yeah, boy. That's right. Come on, preacher.
That's good. Because
right. He knows all we'll do is sign our name and hand it back to Him. Why? Because we have lived a life unreasonably. We have buffeted God's commandments. We pick and choose the ones we like. We never go to the green buffet part. We always go to the dessert bar. We always go to the blessings table. No, I am not eating them things. No, I am not touching that. It's too green. It's too green. I know. And God says, "But I want you to eat it. It's good for you." I swear, Lord, listen, later, when I'm more mature. We, as God's people, have been called. And the calling of God is without repentance. And the call tonight is to call, just be reasonable. He promises to never leave us nor forsake us. We just eat that up. And then God says, "I'm going into this ditch. Come on." We go, "Now wait a minute, Lord. Hold on a minute. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you." Whew. Amen. Laying on my memory foam pillow, memory foam bed, bills paid. Thank you. You'll never leave me nor forsake me. Then the next day he said, "We're headed into the briar patch. Come on." Oh, now wait a minute, Lord. Hold on a minute, Lord. Son, you ain't listening. I didn't say go. I said, "We're going. Come on."
Yeah. Right.
You missed it completely. See, we ain't listening half the time. I'm trying to quit and can't. We ain't listening half the time. We miss Him saying, "My Spirit, I told you, will guide you into all truth." Part of my truth today is through the green brawls. You're going to get up and pray and have a good time at the house, eating breakfast, drinking coffee, put a big smacko on mama, say bye to the babies, and you're going to go to work. But work's not going to be real pleasant today because they're going to challenge you at work. "Oh, Lord. Oh, you know, there was something wrong with them eggs. I might have to stay home today." I know it's silly. But spiritually speaking, that's exactly what we do.
Yeah, right.
"Lord, you promised never leave me nor forsake me." Good. We're going to visit. I don't know what to say. I wouldn't know what to say if they asked. What if they asked me something? What am I supposed to tell them? I'm sending a man of God with you, and you're a man of God. All I want you to do is be reasonable. Just, if they ask you, just say, "I don't know. But let me tell you how I got saved." "Well, I know. I'm going to ask the pastor if we could have classes on how to talk to people. And your thumbs are 4 inches deep in calluses, because that's all you do all day long is talk to people. We buffet the cause of God. We pick and choose what we're going to do, what we like to do, when we want to do it, how we want to do it. Now I know it's COVID-19 time and we ain't allowed to go nowhere, do nothing. But one day it's going to be over. Looks like the flu was over. It's going to be over. And we're going to go back to our, you know, half routine, right? And it'd be just simply reasonable for every man of the church that ain't at work or ain't sick to come tell Seneca Falls about Jesus.
Amen.
It would just be reasonable for every woman to come sometime during the day and two by two visit the shut-ins.
That's right.
The widows.
Come on, preach.
During the day, the women stay home at night. Just the men go out at night. We're not living in the same America we grew up in.
Right.
Just the men go out at night. The women stay home. You go someplace during the day, 12 to 1:30, 2 o'clock. Go visit the widows, homeless, whatever. Talk to somebody about Jesus. Just reasonable. Boy, I sure wish our church would fill up. Wish in one hand and breathe in the other and see which one will fill up the fastest. Oh, I wish our church was full. Boy, I wish we'd get more people in seats. I don't know why the pastor don't do something about this.
Yeah. Come on.
He is.
Come on.
He gives you the Bible. He says,
right.
God Almighty told us to be reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Reason is sacrificial.
Right.
Reason is holy.
Right.
And reason is acceptable to Jesus.
Yeah.
Heads about, eyes are closed. Come on, Mom. All I want to know tonight is who heard from God while he was preaching to you from the Word of God. That's all I want to know. Hands everywhere. Thank God for you. Preacher, I heard God speaking to my heart. I need to get reasonable. Just reasonable. That's all I got. He's calling me to be reasonable in this area of my life. He's not going to harm me. He's not going to abuse me. He's not going to hurt me. He's going to go with me through it. We're going to have a time together. Preacher, my God has spoken to me tonight, and I need to respond. God bless your dear hearts. Father, one has come to the altar already. Others have raised their hand. Father, I have done my dead level best to do exactly what you told me to do today here. My Father, my God, this is just reasonable to love you, serve you with all we have, share it with others, be holy, so that we can be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. My Father and my God, help this great pastor in this church, help these people that raised their hands to not try to be some super Christian. Just be the Christian you made out of them, because you've called us to reasonable service. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Come on.
From the dust of the earth, my God created man.
Come on, my friend. Come on.
His breath made man a living soul. And God so loved the world,
He
gave His only Son,
child of God.
And the He
show me
is
what to do,
why
Lord.
I
By
love
your grace
him
and help,
so.
I'll do it.
I will
show me how to do it, Lord.
In
By your
his
grace
likeness,
and help, I'll do it.
Create
show me what to give, Jesus, and I'll be glad to do it by the grace of God.
For I was born to serve the Lord, and I can't deny him. I will always walk beside
him.
For I was
born
to serve the Lord. My hands were made to help my neighbor.
Whenever.
My eyes were made to read God's word.
He will not
my
hurt you.
Feet were made to walk in his footstep. My body is the temple of the Lord. I was made in his likeness, created in his image, for I was born to serve the Lord, and I can't deny him. I will always walk beside him, for I was born to serve the Lord. Yes, I was made in his likeness, created in his image, for I was born to serve the Lord, and I can't deny him. I will always walk beside him, for I was born to serve the Lord. Yes, I was born to serve.